So I'm Amy. I know just about all of you. And I thought I would start with just kind of like the general idea behind what all of these are and what you're looking at. So everything in here is knit, and it's all translated words or phrases into Morse code. And it's knitting because that's something that's always been really therapeutic to me. It's something I've always enjoyed doing. My mom taught me when I was in high school, and I just like obsessively do it. And the Morse code is simply because it's a way that I could make language into a pattern. So it's not really, people always ask why Morse code, and it's not anything really to do with the idea of code. It's just that I could make it into a pattern, and it was a way I could represent language. So what, like, Morse code is a beat system. Knitting is a stitch system. One beat each equals one stitch. And when I realized that, I sort of asked myself these questions, like, what would language end up looking like if you knit it out? And I was like, okay, it could be every sound beat could be one color and non-sound beats could be another color, or it could be each sound beat is a certain type of stitch and non-sound beats are a different type of stitch. And so already it could be like one concept, one simple concept could be a number of different things. And then I was like, well, what would the pattern really look like? Is every row one letter? Is it one word? Is it one sentence? And then I was like, oh my God, it could be any of these things. I don't know what any of them look like, and it could be any combination thereof. And I just got really obsessed with like finding out what it would look like when I knit it out. And so a big part of what I do is that I don't really know what these are going to look like. When I finish them, I'm sort of doing it to find out. And like at this point, I have a decent idea of what they'll somewhat look like, but a lot of times I finish and I'm really surprised, and like sometimes I'm finished and I'm like, that's really ugly. And it's just not really about the aesthetics. It's very process driven. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some specific examples because I think that's the easiest way to just show you what I mean. So the first one, this is called Look. So all three of these are one piece. And this is an example of one where I got, like, any way I hang it, I just think it's not that pretty, but it's also probably one of the best examples of what I do. Because I sort of just created all three pieces to say the same thing and play with it and make them look as different as I could. So it's called Look because each of these says the same thing. It says the root word look, and then it's lots and lots of synonyms for the word look, gaze, stare, etc. And then also like outfit or, you know, the fashion type of sense, like any way you could take this really basic word, any that I could think of. And the first one here is where every row is a letter, and it's the same sequence of words as the next two. One is where each the sound beat and non-sound beats are different colors instead of different textures. The one up here is different textures for the sound and not sound, but each row, instead of being one letter, is one word. So you can just see that like what we think of as a really simple concept and a very basic, obvious, maybe even like within your first 50 words, if you were learning English, word can look completely different. Interpretation and context is so much of what language is for us. And also, I picked look because meta, because you're looking at the word look. And then this one, I just want to like quickly mention this one. It's a really similar concept, but it's one of my favorites. I wanted one where you could like walk through it, and since it's a lot of it is tactile, I wanted people to feel like they could touch things, so this one is literally called Touch. And it's similar in that it's each of these strands is like a synonym for the word touch. So you might, the word's down at the bottom, if you want to see. And if you're walking through this, you might think, oh, that just grazed me, that just smacked me, that just slapped me. And you might be touching or encountering the word that you're thinking. And I liked that kind of idea. Like you might have this discovery and connection with it afterwards that you didn't even realize. And then I was just going to talk about one more that's a little different take on things, which is over here. So this black, creepy-looking one is, it's called Universal Symbols. And that's the first one I did where every row is a whole sentence instead of like one letter or one word. And the other thing that I haven't really mentioned yet that I'm very interested in is like, what is universal, or is there anything that is universal? Have we figured that out yet? So I took, this is called Universal Symbols, and I took any symbols that I could think of that I thought came as close as we possibly can to being universal. So like a lot of the stuff that you'd see in an airport, the sign for what a restaurant, like we can all, we'll all recall probably the same image of what means a restaurant is here, or like a peace sign. And even those things probably aren't entirely universal, but they were the closest I could think of. And so I listed those out, and then I tried to sort of take, like each of these symbols is the best, somebody's best attempt, or like the human's best attempt at making things as simple as possible. And I sort of took a step back and like abstracted it back out and complicated it again. And I said to myself, like, if I was looking at this for the first time and I had to describe it in words, what would I say? So for a restaurant symbol, I wrote out the words, something like fork next to knife in a circle. Or peace sign was like circle with a vertical line and like the top of a triangle. I can't remember. It's written over there. Yeah, I can't remember what I said. But then I knit out each of those. And it's just, a lot of this is to try and make you take a pause and think about how complex our communication is. And I feel like re-complicating that process makes you kind of take a second to think about that. So each of these are either it's kind of like very zoomed in looks at the English language, so like idioms or homonyms or homophones, or they are languages in comparison with each other, so the same word or phrase but in different languages all next to each other, so you can sort of visually see how they, how the same thing can be taken in a million different ways. And I'm happy to answer questions about any other specific ones, but that's all I was going to talk about. Oh, big shout out to Matt, because he helped me cut out the graph paper, and he was a real little bitch about me mentioning him today. So he cut out half of these pieces of paper. Yeah. Question? No, no, not really. That hasn't come into play at all, which I think is interesting because I'm a really colorful person. But it started as part of it. No, the tights. A part of what I liked about this is that I had a lot of excess yarn, and I liked that it was a way to like reduce my own waste. So I thought that was a little bit poetic too. And so color has never really played into it. And then when I got to the point where I'd used all of that up, I just picked colors that I liked and I thought would be engaging. So that's where, like, a lot of these were ordered just for this because I didn't have enough to do it. And I like neon colors. Somebody told me that one ended up being Virginia Tech and I didn't realize it. And that's upsetting to me because I have no connection to Virginia Tech. What? Matt. Duffy. Yeah, yeah.
Clearly, I don't. Are the dashes and the dots, are they different?
Well, so I did it like each stitch is one beat. So if it's a dot, then that's one stitch. And if it's a dash, then that's three beats and three of the same stitch in a row. And the only way it changes is whether they are sound beats or not sound beats. So that's really the only difference. Like each sound stitch, sound beat equals a certain kind of stitch, and each silent beat equals a certain kind of stitch. But they're all counted out that way. Uh-huh. Anybody else? Yes.
I have a... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Just real quick question. First of all, thank you very much. This is really fascinating. Honestly, I never thought of this myself, but I was thinking about it in terms of use for these or what your intention was. You know, I mean, so often we have words or symbols or something just that we wear for various reasons. Some of us are wearing name tags tonight, which, you know, communication.
Yeah, yeah.
When you sat down to start to do this, did you have any thought that this should be purely something you should enjoy, observe, or is it something that should be part of somebody so they can express themselves in some other sort of way? Or what was your thought?
Well, what's interesting about that is that this was my first ever, that's not quite true, nearly my first foray into knitting non-functionally. I had done like a little something before that, but mostly this was like the first time I was sort of creating with knitting without really a purpose in mind. I really did just want to see what it ended up looking like, and I started just like shoving these. I'd finish one, I like shove it in my closet and not know what I was going to do with it. And this is why I say, like, I didn't really consider myself an artist until a couple of years ago. I just sort of like accumulated several and was like, I got to do something with these, or I look crazy. So I started submitting them for validation, and it worked. But what's interesting about that is the first one that I did was that piece on the back wall, and without really meaning to, it ended up being like a transitional kind of, like, that looks like a scarf, you know? Maybe not a very pretty one, but you could use it as a scarf. And it wasn't until I sort of had a couple like that, a couple of transitional type of pieces, that I made just weird looking ones that were, you couldn't, I know, you know, no, you couldn't even wear it. Yeah.
When you look at these now, can you read them by sight?
No. Which I really like. Thank you for asking that question. Because that's something that's important to me, too, is that it levels the playing field of language. So it's maybe, like, the ones that I first started doing, idioms, homophones, homonyms, were with the idea that, like, if English was your second language, this stuff is, like, difficult to understand if you don't have the right context. You have no idea what someone's saying to you when they say kick the bucket or... things like that. And what I like is that even I can't read these. So it's taking all of us, no matter what your literacy or first language or second language or whatever is, we're all having the same visual experience. I could probably begin to figure out where, you know, if I read the bottom, what this word was, I could probably be like, all right, if it's slap, S takes less space than an L, so I could sort of start to deduce where the beginning of the word was, but that would just kind of be my backwards working it. I can't read or feel where the letters start and stop, yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous. Thank you for sharing that.